yes, I did go to the Ron Howard Beatles documentary, 8 days a week. Yeah, it really showed how hard the Beatles worked during their touring years. Because I'm going to talk about this today, because it applies to a truth I'm going to bring you concerning popular music, and thus the intoxicant of Babylon. Yes, I am going to move on. I really am. Look, you're going to mourn the day when this series is over, so enjoy every new installment of this series. Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zenner beginning another week of Revelation in the Revelation series. So I was with three other people, excuse me, at the Beatles documentary. I love the Beatles. I always thought that I could fill in for Ringo at any given time. I played the drums, you know, when I was a kid and into my adulthood. I used to make money at it. I was a professional drummer, that's right. And at home, I would drive my parents crazy by running a wire down from our stereo in the living room down through a hole that I drilled in the floor. It was the chimney chute. Somehow the chimney thing, I drilled. I didn't have to drill. I would have drilled, but I didn't have to. Ran the wire down, put the headphones on. It just, living room happened to be directly above my drum set. I would put Beatle records on. I would stack them, you see. Excuse me. I'd stack the 45s. And then I'd run downstairs, put my headset on. I want to hold your hand. Oh, yeah. I would jam it. Not only the Beatles, but other songs as well. And what's that? Is that a big roach coming up to get me? I heard a noise here. Sounded like a roach, big roach scratching up the leg of my table here. But I seem to be safe for the time being. So one of the women that was with us after the movie said, you know, it's a shame that the Beatles had to take drugs at the end there, because their music got weird. And as I said, Ron Howard in this film is looking at their touring years during the time they're writing their pop hits, their She Loves You, I Want to Hold Your Hand, all the love songs that the teeny bopper girls went crazy over, rightly so. She Loves You, did I mention that one? If I Fell in Love with You, that's a different one. I know that's not She Loves You. I know that, I'm a Beatles fan. You don't have to tell me that. And I thought, well, that's a shame that, I'm glad the Beatles took drugs. They took them experimentally. They weren't addicts. That's the thing. They took them to find enlightenment. And when they found that enlightenment did not come from the drugs, then they stopped the drugs. They weren't looking to become addicts. They weren't looking to be dropouts. They were looking to enhance their perceptions of life. And some of the greatest songs, I mean, their music matured and it became so original. And they led the way to new sounds, to new things. They were the most creative four people that ever wrote music, if you ask me. One of my favorite Beatles songs, I mean, it is my favorite Beatles song, the favorite, is Tomorrow Never Knows, with that Eastern drone back there. Sit down, relax, surrender to the void. I have told you this before. What is my point in all this, besides being totally entertaining to you? My point is that something has happened to popular music that is bringing the world into a single mindset. I've been talking about this. I've been talking about the intoxicant of Babylon and how the culture is being dumbed down. And I have told you how the movies and television are being used to mesmerize people by the passage of light in front of your eyes, and subliminal and even overt messages, especially overt messages, but the subliminal messages are being pounded into your head by the agency of phosphors, the Greek word phos. Satan is disguised as a messenger of phos, of light, a messenger. And the messages come now into your head via the global experience. And many, many people, especially the youth of this world, are being plugged into a global experience. And it's insidious. And it's coming via popular music. I found a great guy on YouTube. I've never heard of this guy. I was dabbling through Infowars.com with Alex Jones, and I found this guy, Paul Joseph Watson. You've got to look this guy up. He's an intelligent young man. He's probably 25. I'm looking at a picture of him now. This particular video of his is called The Truth About Popular Music. I encourage you to go here. Go to YouTube, look up Paul Joseph Watson, and you'll see a whole string of things that confirm what I've been telling you about the intoxicant of Babylon. And he's posing in this video with a world map behind him. Very intelligent guy. He's got another video called The Dumbest People Ever, and it talks about how America, especially, he's talking about here, is being dumbed down. We are exporting our culture around the world, and by the influence of our global media empire coming via Hollywood, via Nashville, via New York, the so-called cultural centers of America, which are the anti-cultural centers of America. We are exporting Antichrist. We are exporting the intoxicant of Babylon. And of course, the Jews control everything, and I'm going to tie this in with a passage today, I hope, from A. Enoch. But this Paul Joseph Watson talks about how there's only four people really are writing the songs that are in the top 40 today. And I started with the Beatles to tell you that this stuff is the antithesis of the Beatles. The Beatles were creative. They did their own things. George Martin, their producer, was in the studio practically shaking. It's like, what do you guys want to do next? And he's beholden to the raw, gigantic, Mount Rushmore-like talent of the Beatles. If it was up to me, the Beatles would be on Mount Rushmore. So that's not the way it is today. Today, the pop stars are basically being propped up, being fed hits that are actually fed in music. What has worked in the past is fed into a computer. Like, this is stuff that people like, and it's fed into a computer, and the computer spits out a variation on a theme. That's why all music sounds alike today. I've often said the best music has already been written. And then, of course, we could go back to classical music. And I don't like classical music. I think it's music to hang yourself by. However, I will acknowledge the talent of people like Mozart and, Strauss. He was the waltz guy, right? Johann Sebastian. The Beatles wrote waltz. Yeah, it's Babies in Black. Oh dear, what can I do? Babies in black and I'm feeling blue. Tell me, oh. Yeah, that's a waltz. So these people were geniuses. However, genius is being squashed today in favor of the corporate experience, the global experience, I should say. And you notice that there is still creativity. There's still some creativity in films. There's more complexity in television series. So I can't say that this insipid commonality has made its way totally into television, unless we're talking about daytime television. But you notice that the young generation, I hate to say that because I still feel very young. I swear to you, I feel like I'm 25 years old. I'm alive. I'm vibrant. I'm relevant. I'm so relevant in my world. I know I'm not relevant in the pop culture world. But you see, the kids nowadays with their little iPods in, it's like they can't go anywhere without being plugged in. They need that hook, that lift, that connection. They need to feel good constantly. It's a drug for sure. And it's screwing up the heads of the culture. I'm not one of these people who back in the Beatles day said burn Beatles albums because they're subverting the culture and rock and roll is the devil's den. I'm not saying that. In fact, I love subversive music. It should be subversive. Rock and roll should be subversive. It's got to be written by angry people with attitudes, and it's bombastic. And the best music today is not on a major record label. It's being produced in a garage, And one of the greatest songs ever was that song, Louie, Louie. Da, 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 da. The lyrics are unintelligible, but the song is being recorded by a band at the same time. It's not like they're producing it from a cookie cutter template where some huge producer is sending it down the line. They're recording it together at the same time, and they're barely hanging on. Louie Louie by the Kingsmen. Look that one up in your spare time. They're barely hanging on to this song, and it's a mess. It's a beautiful mess. That kind of music is great, subversive. But this world music, this electronica, it's not subversive at all. It's a sedative. It's a sedative. It's a drug. And when rock and roll becomes corporate, it's no longer subversive. This is why rock bands produce their best music before they become famous. So anyway, here's the appropriate verse now. Text from A. Enoch. Wait to hear this. I got to get my new bunker light on here. My new sophisticated bunker light from my phone. Another field which has been almost totally captured by the Jews is music. Remember, writing this in the 1930s, no song can hope to succeed or become popular unless it is published by them. Most of the so-called hits, which are sold by the millions and sung everywhere, are also written by them. This guy was so prescient. He was so practically prophetic here as he's talking about songs written by the millions. What else does he say here? And sung everywhere? Now, they're not only sung everywhere, which was shocking to Mr. Knock, but they're listened to everywhere. Nobody had that capability before until the iPod and what was the first thing? The Walkman was invented. Now people can listen to music anywhere, anytime, and they're not feeling good unless they're plugged in. Anyone of mature years cannot but be struck by the deterioration in the quality of popular songs. Buddy, my friend, you should be alive today, but I'm almost happy for you that you're not. I mean, yes, you missed the Beatles, but, you know, it's true. You can live without the Beatles. You really can. You can live without the Kinks. You can live without the Kingsmen. You can live without David Bowie. You can live without even Elton John. It's true. Anyone of mature years cannot help be struck by the deterioration in the quality of popular songs since they have come into control. They meaning Israelites. Sorry. I'm just reading now, aren't I? Two or three decades ago, they were at least decent in their sentimentality. Yeah, I'm thinking of early Beatles. That was decent in their sentimentality, I think. And I love her. She gives me all my love and tenderly. The kiss my lover brings, she brings to me, and I love her. A love like ours can never die as long as I have you near me. Those are purely sentimental. That's decent, I think. And it's true, the Beatles end up going on to write Why Don't We Do It in the Road, which I think is a better song, written by Paul McCartney. In fact, John Lennon said this was the best song Paul McCartney ever wrote, in his humble opinion. The lyrics go, why don't we do it in the road? Why don't we do it in the road? No one will be watching us. Why don't we do it in the road? It basically goes on like that. Great song. I like it. I think it's subversive. And therefore, it's not global music. Hell no. Two or three decades ago, they were at least decent. Now, I am told, they are often maudlin and would not be sung if the people had not been prepared for such slush by gradual debasement. Prepared for the slush. He calls the current state of music in 1930 slush. And he says that the people are being prepared for more slush and worse slush by gradual debasement. Boy, oh boy, is this happening. And again, I encourage you, go to Paul Joseph Watson on YouTube.com, The Truth About Popular Music, and you'll find lots of other stuff, especially The Dumbest People Ever. Oh, here's one I haven't watched yet, The Truth About Modern Art. That sounds interesting because I went to an art museum in Miami, and there was one stupid exhibit. Actually, they were all pretty stupid. It's modern art. There was a table covered with human hair. I mean, the hair was taken painfully, strand by strand, strung across, and of course, the artist was trying to tell us of the trauma of postmodern society and the suffering of the African peoples. It's just ridiculous. You can say anything. You know, I can take this glass and I can put hair conditioner in it, and I can set it on a table, and I can say this is great art. I can put it in a giant room by itself and have people pay to come in and look at this and say, oh, what is that artist saying? He's saying that the condition of the world is transparent to all that see it, and he's tapping into the pain of nihilism. And it's just absolutely absurd, and it's like the emperor's new clothes. You have to say it's smart because everybody else is saying it's smart, but if you looked at it with objective eyes, you have to say it's absolutely effing ridiculous, and the people who are putting up this crap are so full of themselves in their own heads that they're in their own worlds. And why are we squinting and looking at it sideways and trying to enter their nihilistic, insane, philosophically vapid world when we are plugged into reality? And hello, reality check, giving you a reality check right now. This reality check will keep all of us, especially those of you within the sound of my voice, from acquiescing to an agreement with these cerebrally empty lunatics who would dare plug us in to global anything. I reject them, and I reject the proposition that my realism is on the wane. It's on the rise, people, and we're on the cutting edge of it right here.